Pride is the primordial basis for all our passions, for all our sin. It is pride, which, as we know, is the manifestation of what happened and was at the heart of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Our church fathers tell us that all the passions, all the listing of all the sins, really have their root in that primordial basic sin of pride, of self-exaltation, of placing ourselves on the order of God. In this morning's readings, and particularly the gospel lesson from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 14th chapter, Jesus is dealing with really the remedy, if you will, the remedy to this, to the most fundamental and basic problem with sin, and that is pride, human, fallen human pride. We read and heard how Jesus has been invited to the house of one of the Pharisees. They were the exalted among the religious leaders. They were the creme de la creme of society and Jewish society and in ancient Palestine, if you will. And they're invited. They invited Jesus basically to a Seder. The fathers tell us it's probably a Friday evening meal that they are celebrating at the start of the Sabbath at sundown on Friday. So it would have been considered a great honor for somebody to be invited, not just by another person, but by a Pharisee, by those head of the church, if you will, into his own home to break bread, to have table fellowship. But we know that Jesus had discerned, really was at work here, at play. It was in order to test our Lord. It was in order to set a plant, a man who had dropsy, a man who had probably congestive heart failure. He was full of fluid, edema, he was swollen. Placed him in the midst of there to see what our Lord would do. And Jesus could discern their hearts. He knew what they had done. But he also noted how each of the guests that had come had vied for the most honorable seat. And of course, there was a whole tradition about sitting on the right hand and sitting on the left hand and so forth. And in terms of honor given to guests, your place there. And so you had all these Pharisees and guests of Pharisees that were vying for honor and position. And there was this man who was suffering, who suffered from this condition. And so Jesus turned the tables on them and posed a question, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And they were silent. Why were they silent? Because, of course, Jesus had created a dilemma for them. In their observance of the law, the outward, external observance of the law, they knew that the answer should be no. It's not lawful to heal. And yet, in God's mercy, it seems counter to that. And so they were silent. And Jesus answered with taking the man and miraculously healing him in their presence and demonstrating that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. And he said to them again, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen in the pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things because they knew in their heart, in their hypocritical outward observance of the law, that they indeed would save their own animal. And yet, they would be willing to say it's not lawful to heal one who is sick or diseased. Their hypocrisy, their pride, their self-adulation had been called out by our Lord through his actions of mercy and grace. Jesus then goes on to tell the parable of the wedding rooms and about don't select the greatest room, but go to the most humble position and let him who invited you call you up higher. And he finished in saying, whoever exalts himself, this is verse 11, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus is giving the Pharisees the remedy for their own pride, for their own sinful behavior, for their own sinful attitudes, the duplicity that had existed. Here was the Pharisees that St. Cyril of Jerusalem teaches us. They had set the law, which was the antitype of the law incarnate, had set the law as a weapon against he who fulfilled the law. There is a great irony here, but it demonstrated the depth of their unregenerate hearts, of their hypocrisy. By humility, it is by humility Jesus is teaching them and is teaching us. By humility, we are exalted. It is by humility that we even discover and have the grace of God to discover our own sinfulness, our own pride, our own passions. If you were here for Matins this morning, we chanted the 51st Psalm, which is a great psalm of repentance that King David wrote following his adultery and murder of Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. But we also know in reading scripture that David wasn't immediately convicted. He did these horrible things, unthinkable things in many ways, but things not unlike we would be capable of in given the right circumstances. But in his pride as king, and the self-glorification of his position, he was not convicted. It took God in sending the prophet Nathan and telling him a parable in order for him, King David, to humble himself, to realize the depth of his sin and his darkness. But it took the king humbling himself, the king exalted among the people, to humble himself, to come to a place of repentance and restoration. The example par excellence of humbling oneself is the second person of the Blessed Trinity leaving the glory of heaven to be born of a virgin, to become man. And we know that our Lord Jesus chose not for himself the elite of society, but the common men. The common men around him. Jesus sets the example in the incarnation. He sets the example in his ministry of modesty and meekness in bringing about the exaltation of his kingdom and his glory. By humility, we come to a place of repentance. And by repentance, we come to faith. And by faith, we are saved. I want to remind you of what St. Paul wrote in the epistle lesson today from the third chapter, from the third chapter of Ephesians. He said, I'm sorry. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is 14th verse. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. St. Paul is describing our place of salvation. To be filled with the glory of God, to be exalted, to know and to be able to apprehend what is the width and length and breadth of the love of Christ. To see the saints as an example of humility, of humbling oneself. It's why the Orthodox Church has as its spiritual root the simple Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Whenever we have failed to live according to the precepts of our Lord, it is because we have let pride slip back in. It is because we have become, to some degree, self-reliant in our own faith and our own abilities. But the church teaches us over and over again, and our Lord teaches us, that we must always humble ourselves or be humbled. And then for in humbling ourselves, we open the door to repentance. And in repentance, the door is open to salvation. To the fullness of God in Christ and his love, and bringing about a sanctified soul. Today we commemorate one of our great Western saints, Saint Paulinus of York. By humility, Paulinus, who was an Italian Roman living at the beginning of the 7th century, had been ordained a priest, and as Pope Gregory the First began to put together missionary journeys to England, which had already been Romanized, but still the far reaches of the Roman Empire were still, the Anglo-Saxons were still a pagan people. And so Paulinus, faithful to his father in Christ, Pope Gregory the First, agreed to leave his home as a simple and humble priest, to go to a land that was very foreign to him, to be able to bring the gospel to a pagan people. He arrived in England in the year 604, as recorded in the History of the English People by the Venerable Bede. And there he began to evangelize. He began to, through the Holy Spirit, began to have converts to the church. And one was a pious woman, Ethelberg of Kent, who was to be married to the pagan King Edwin. And so Paulinus accompanied her to Northumbria, where they were united in holy matrimony. And it was through the witness of Paulinus that Edwin eventually was converted, becoming one of the first Anglo-Saxon kings of England. It would set the foundation for a Christian English people, a spiritual foundation that many of us share. But he didn't stop there. Paulinus, in his humility and humbling himself, continued the work of God there across England. And as a result, he was elevated and consecrated to the rank of bishop and became the Bishop of Rochester. And he continued to serve faithfully with many churches and monasteries being built as a result of his ministry. And just prior to his death in the year 644, on this day, on October the 10th, just prior to that, he had received a pallium from the Pope, elevating him to Archbishop of York, the first Archbishop of the newly Christian York. He would instead receive his eternal crown before actually taking the throne of Archbishop. His life is an example of humble faithfulness to our Lord in serving such that he was exalted, not through his own works, but through his faithfulness in doing the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit. By humility we are exalted. By humility we are saved. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, Lord Jesus Christ our God, have mercy upon us and save us. Amen.